Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell and Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio.
Welcome back to Design Oracles. Diane and I are really excited today to talk to you about one of our new obsessions, housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
Yes.
It's amazing I can get excited about these things.
Oh my goodness.
We're celebrating the goddess Hestia.
Hestia. I love it. So back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I can't remember when, I read a book called Home Comforts, The Art and Science of Keeping House.
Who's the author?
It's by Cheryl Mendelson. Mm-hmm. She's a Harvard Law professor, graduate, and sometime philosophy professor, a novelist, and a homemaker by choice, she says here. So this book, I'll just give you a quick little synopsis from the back, is not just about housekeeping. It's about the philosophy of housekeeping. Mm-hmm. It's about the cultural implications of housekeeping. And where it connects to what Diane and I do is we are all about everything related to the home, since that's what we do, design, create homes. So everything from choosing fabrics, cleaning china, keeping the piano in tune, making a good fire, folding a fitted sheet, setting the table, keeping surfaces free of pathogens, watering plants, whatever you can think of is in this incredible book, described as mesmerizing. And I think, Diane, would you agree with it?
Total mesmerization.
Mesmerization.
Is that a word?
So I just want to say real quick that my own personal interest in housekeeping does not actually mean I like housekeeping. I like to think about housekeeping and where I learned to be interested in it and think that it is important for me as an interior designer to know is in my early days in design, starting to study and pay attention to the way people lived and the way their, at that point, housekeepers mostly kept their homes. Mm-hmm. I learned so much from watching them.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up in a household that was obsessed with housekeeping mm-hmm. necessarily. So anyway, it was a real mind bender for me and really, really interesting. And I knew Diane would love it, which she did as well.
Well, and so the other thing I love about this book, which I guess is like home comforts, is how, I mean, she even describes all the china and the different size plates and how to set a table.
Yes.
I've always been teaching my son how to set a table since he was like three. I just think it's just so important.
Yes. It's also just, it's fun
it's
to know.
It's just civilized.
It's civilized. It's fun to know. And even if it's not something that, like I say, you practice in your daily life, but the knowledge of it, I find fascinating. How to make a bed.
Mm-hmm.
And who knew there were so many opinions about it? Doesn't she talk a lot about that in the book?
Yes. And, you know, even I Googled some and mm-hmm. you find all kinds of YouTube videos mm-hmm. on it. It's fascinating. And I've even started noticing reels on it on Instagram.
So I liked, and it's been a long time since I read the book. I did not do a refresher, which I probably should have, that if I remember correctly, she talks a lot about her family history and talked about the different ways that each of the grandmothers kept house and
yeah.
how one was, I think, German and had a different feeling about how a bed should be made the first thing when you wake up before you do anything else. And then there mm-hmm. was a more of a Mediterranean grandmother who believed the bed should be aired out mm-hmm. and folded down. And
yeah, everyone has different ways of doing it. I mean, I remember my aunt showing me how to properly fold sheets, which actually she lists in this bed. And
yeah.
I had never actually known that. So, yeah. And how to fold towels and then how to stack them neatly in your cabinet.
It just makes for a happier living environment. And, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like it's on offer as a referential book. So you can go there and look things up. Maybe you've got a stain you need to remove. It's mm-hmm. just a little more civilized than going online for everything, just going to a book and opening
right.
it up. It's kind of like my joy of cooking, right?
Or I mean, it is great to read. You just kind of get this refresher and then also really learning stuff too. And, you know, we also think about like Martha Stewart really
yes.
glorified this.
Yes, yes, yes.
She was
absolutely
able to really bring it home with everyone.
There's a lot of housekeeping gurus, domestic goddesses out there that have captured my interest and Diane's interest, I'm sure, too, over the years. Martha Stewart, whether you like her or not, she's definitely a name you've heard of. What was her magazine?
Living.
Living. I remember Living for that magazine
still
to come out.
Yeah.
And every Easter it had a beautiful cover. And, you know, it did cause me some stress because I could never keep up with Martha. And Julia Childs with her approach to cooking and homemaking and her very humble kind of way that she said, anybody can do this.
Yeah.
It was aspirational.
Well, she wrote her first cookbook for the Servantless Cook.
That's right. So a lot of this is a lot of what this book talks about and what I think is interesting to think about is that class system thing where, you know, people, the people that I learned housekeeping from were the housekeepers that worked for my clients. And the clients I had at that point were they had laundresses, literally someone who came in weekly and ironed and folded and did the bedding and they would do the bedding and ship it to the dorm room of the
child of
the family that they said they had clean sheets. And it just blew my mind that that was a thing. And so I kind of dived in and really wanted to learn all about it. And then I also remember watching The Brady Bunch.
Oh, yeah. Alice.
Oh, my gosh. I want Alice in my life so badly.
I'm sure we all
the
do,
best.
Right?
That, to my mind, was the perfect way to live.
Right.
Having an Alice who lived.
You know, we go visit my friend has her family's had a house at Rehoboth Beach for a couple generations, and they actually have a servant's room off the kitchen.
Yeah.
And we all call it Alice's room.
That's right. I love it. Yeah. So, you know, whether you hire domestic help, if you have a housekeeper, a lot of people, just regular people, have someone come in and help them keep up their home. We all have such busy lives. Where it's important for Diane and I to know about it individually for each client is whether or not that client has any particulars about the way they want things done. So we've had clients want drip closets.
Yeah, in the laundry room, depending on how they want to dry their
in the laundry
clothes.
Room. Yeah. They want to hang them and they want
a
drain.
A lot of specifics on all of that.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time talking about the laundry room. Do you?
Yeah. Laundry rooms make the house just feel better if they're right.
And I almost feel like I talk about the laundry room as much as the kitchen.
Wow. That's probably true.
Yeah.
Especially because people mostly do their own laundry for the people that we work for. So that it's important and everybody has a lot of opinions about it. It can be very emotional for them.
Yeah. I mean, and what they're going to store in there and what they want to easily access. And
fold down.
Yeah.
Ironing boards.
Well, now you can have them in a drawer. So if you want to quickly iron your cloth napkins for people coming over for dinner, which I just love that idea. Of course, it's going to get set with the glorious china that you have on your table.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just talking about all kinds of things like that.
Yeah. And then do they, you know, so they have, do they need hanging space for laundry? Do they want windows to be operable so they can have fresh air?
Oh, yeah. There's the talk about ventilation, which she talks about a lot in this book and which also starts to get into, which we had our wonderful interview with Christoph from Positive Energy talking about building science and talking about ventilation, humidity levels and all of that and whether airtight buildings are good and the sick building syndrome and how many air changes you should have per day. And so there's a lot of building science to all of that in our own
health.
You know, the ASHRAE code is like 0.35 air changes per hour, and really, so the old houses used to have 24 to 72 air changes per day because they were so loose, right?
They were open, airtight. They were leaky, they were,
But yeah, then there's the ventilation of opening windows and doors. And there's some people that love to open all of them, and then some people that don't. And some people that say, oh, I have allergies. Although sometimes most of those allergies are coming from within the house, which also has to get into the cleanliness of your house and how to stop dust from creeping in.
And this has been a very poignant subject right now with everything that's going on with a global pandemic that we're hopefully coming out of. And So it just.
And I would say, with us all living at home during that shutdown, man, my house got dirty fast, you know?
My house took a lot of wear and tear for sure. So we have to know things about their maintenance of their home and how they like to live and where they like to store things and how much volume they need to store and where do they want their towels and where do they want their toilet paper. And all of that is related and all of that is important, and we have to know it. We know more about our clients' housekeeping habits than their friends do.
Yes, we
do.
That's
for sure.
And then there's also, I mean, I know you do this with the materials that get selected. You will put a little book together for them of all the cleaning necessities
absolutely.
And requirements.
Yeah, we'll put a finished schedule together early in the project that'll list all of the materials that are going into the house. And then at the end, we'll go back to the supplier of whatever material it is, whether it's a countertop or a tile or a tabletop, and we will investigate the recommended cleaning and maintenance of it, and then put that into that finished schedule and give it to the client so that they can pass it to their housekeeper or use it themselves, or maybe like me, just sit and read it for fun and never do any of the things that are in it. But it's just good to know. And then, you know, one thing I think about and talk to clients a lot about is carpet and area rugs, right?
Yeah, because carpet is really bad for you.
I don't know if I agree. I like how quiet
I know
it
that
is.
We like all that about it, but man, it really
does it talk about that.
Yeah, it holds and captures all kinds of stuff. So we know with Christoph, we were talking about how we have 100 pounds of air and all the, I can't remember exactly how many pounds of water we have. So, and we talk about humidity levels in our house. So the humidity is really important for our comfort, but also for the growth of these
microbial things
that live. And those are what cause tons of our allergies and having stuffy noses and sneezing. And you're like, why is this happening?
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, you have to, you know, thinking about the materials, you don't want to have materials that then hold that moisture, because then that's just creating this wonderful environment for them.
Absolutely.
So that's why I usually am not so much for carpet, but I love area rugs because they can be picked up, taken
and
out,
cleaned
very easily.
Yeah. Yeah. And carpet, I agree with you. There are different types of materials that are easier to clean, that are more resistant to dust collection and more easy to you know, get stains out of, et cetera. But really, area rugs are a great solution for that, because they actually, the fact that it's a little bit, maybe some people think it's kind of gross that they capture the dust and they capture the dirt from your feet. But I kind of like that because it keeps the rest of the house cleaner, and then you know where to vacuum.
Keeps the dirt organized.
Keeps the dirt organized. I have been preaching this for so long about how people with pets, and particularly if they do a seagrass or a sisal rug, it can really capture a lot of the pet hair, and then they just run the vacuum over it, and the rest of their house, there's no more dust bunnies from hair. And I have one of my employees, when she first started working for me, heard me give this speech so many times, and she had, I think, 3 cats at the time. And
okay.
she did as I suggested and got seagrass area rug for her living room, and all of a sudden the house was so much easier to keep clean. There weren't dust bunnies in the corner. And so anyway, I could go on. But that's the important thing for us to know, is just how you want to live in your house. And do we want to focus on mold and mildew resistant materials? You know,
right.
You
yeah.
generally can. There's fabrics that
rugs.
Are that way, area rugs, window treatments that are self-cleaning. When they open and close, the dust comes off. They're resistant to dust being attracted to them.
Where does the dust go?
Hunter
then?
Douglas. Just in the air, but it doesn't stick. You don't have filth on your,
so you don't
on your
see
window
it.
Treatment.
Yeah.
You don't have that layer of filth that you
right.
have to vacuum off. And it goes where you can sweep it up
uh-huh.
on the floor. So anyway, and then also just choosing materials like your countertop materials based on your cleaning habits and your maintenance habits. You know, people don't want to necessarily oil their soapstone. They don't have to, by the way. I have soapstone. I don't oil it.
Yeah,
but you can if that's what
choice.
You want. Yeah, it's a choice. So kind of understanding whether or not the client's going to be a good candidate for painted cabinets versus stained cabinets, because stained cabinets can be more forgiving versus painted. Depends on the color, depends on the wear. But all of these things are just really important for us to know.
Yeah, and also you said soapstone like butcher block countertops as well. You know, sometimes we want to know, do they like to roll out cookie dough pie crust? So maybe the wood countertop is going to be better, and how do you care for that?
Absolutely. And then she goes into all kinds of choosing dishcloths, choosing towels, choosing linens, the different types of weaves.
And also like talking about vacuuming and vacuum cleaners and how that – I just want to talk about that because I found that fascinating. And so I did research on the first vacuum cleaner, which was in 1901 by Hubert Cecil – or Cecil Booth. And it was actually a horse-drawn carriage, and – it had all these hoses that came out for it and went up in through the windows, and it would suck all of the dirt out. And then it had a clear container so you could see how much dirt was coming out. And they did this at, like, Buckingham Palace. And it was seen as this really, you know, highfalutin thing to do because it was expensive. And so they didn't have vacuums back then, so there was all this cleaning technique with the broom and the brush and dustbins and how you get floors clean. So when this came out, this was just quite the marvel. Well, then eventually they started having the ones that then, you know, you can buy. So there was, you know, in England they call it a Hoover, not a vacuum. And you Hoover, it's even a verb. And so Hoover was a guy who came out a few years later after the this big one. And it was actually in the U.S. he created the manufacturing plant. I don't know how – the U.S. never adopted that word, but the English did.
We say vacuuming.
Yeah. So – and it was just very interesting to me that it was this big ordeal, and you'd see this carriage outside of your house with all these hoses going in to vacuum your house and get rid of all the
drama.
Dust.
It must have been fascinating.
Isn't it?
I also remember the vacuum houses that have the vacuum attachment in each room. So you could just go in with your vacuum attachment and attach it to the wall.
Yeah.
And I never understood where that goes, Diane. You're the architect. Do you know where that goes?
I don't know, because we never have anyone that wants them.
Yeah, it was a while back. It was in the late 90s or early 2000s that I last encountered that. So I don't know where that went.
A lot of people seem to complain that it didn't have enough power.
Suction. I think probably better to have someone, if you don't have, if you want ease and comfort, just having a vacuum on each floor. I know we've designed for clients, we keep one in the guest closet and one in the master closet, and that's important. So while we're talking about closets, that's another big subject for people, cedar closets. And how they keep their clothes, and how if they mend their clothes. There's a whole section in Cheryl Mendelson's book about mending.
Right.
Which seems so old-fashioned, but really it's something we should all learn so that we don't go out throwing our clothes away and buying new all the time.
I'm constantly doing that. Also, how to organize your closets. I mean, we spend a lot of time helping people design their closet. I mean, there's also closet designers, which are fantastic, but sometimes it's us figuring out, well, how many pairs of boots do you have? And do you want tall hanging, short hanging? Do you fold? Do you hang? And going through all that and laying out the closet for you and making, you know, some people want an island, so we have to design the closet so it can accommodate an island in the middle. Or I like to pack my suitcase in the closet. I mean,
because they travel a lot and they just want to be able to unload and reload as they go.
Yeah.
And jewelry and a place to stand and, you know, have a dressing area and, you know, having just – or I love the trend, which I think is still happening, of putting a washer dryer in the primary closet or at least having one upstairs and one laundry room upstairs and one laundry area at least downstairs if you have a two-story house so that you can manage your flow that way. I know I have one client – I actually can think of two clients that have had very extensive double laundry rooms, one upstairs and one downstairs, and laundry chutes as well is another thing so that they can have the kids maybe toss everything down if they're towels or big laundry so they can do them downstairs but then doing the small stuff upstairs. And so all of these things are things we need to know going in so we can design around it. Around people's habits.
Yeah, definitely. I know we learn about so many of your habits. It's pretty funny. So there's cleaning upholstery. Because that also can get really kind of icky and nasty with dust. You know, my son is very much a percussionist and walks around with drumsticks all the time and beats on the furniture. And you get to see how dusty it might be or not. So it's just a reminder that that is something you should do. And Amity, how often do you think you ought to?
Probably twice a year.
Yeah.
Some people say once a season, but I think that's a bit much for the way that fabrics are.
Probably depends on how much you're sitting there.
I think so. And if you have pets or not, maybe. So twice a year is good. I probably get to it about once a year. But it really does make a difference in how long your furniture will wear, because dirt and dust and oils break down the fibers of your furniture. And so it'll last a lot longer if you invest in keeping it clean.
And so do you hire someone or should you buy a certain type of machine?
You know, I do use a service. Well, it's actually just a guy who has it's just him. But I have used services as well. And I would research it and see how they clean. You don't want to bring a lot of extra moisture into your home. So dry cleaning is type of cleaning and strong vacuuming is probably better than getting things wet because they don't dry well.
And it's just growing more stuff.
So you really want to get it vacuumed, especially as best as possible. And then there's different types of cleaning fluids and things they can use to get stains out. There's sealants you can put on the fabrics to keep them more resistant. So that's an important thing to do, I think, twice a year. And then having, this is a big one, having your windows professionally cleaned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that gives me great happiness.
Oh, my gosh. It is, there is nothing that makes your house look more brand new than having your windows cleaned.
Such a difference.
And it's funny, one forgets. And
you do, because you've been looking out these dirty windows
for
months.
Dirty glasses.
And then you get them cleaned and you're like, oh,
and your
world,
house
so bright.
And just got bigger. Your house just got bigger and tidier looking. And this reminds me, I need to call and get my windows
me
cleaned.
Me too.
And if you don't have somebody else clean your windows, it's great exercise cleaning windows, but it takes a whole day.
I remember when I had a one-story house, I would do it myself. But now that I have a two-story, you know, I'm not supposed to really get on a tall ladder.
No, that would not be good. So, yeah, and then fireplaces, that's another kind of opening in your house. You've got your doorways and your passages, and you have to think about getting, you know, dirt off your feet and whether you have area rugs or whether you have, you know, brush matting. But at a fireplace, depending on how you use it, it's an important place to keep clean. We have a lot of clients who really like to burn wood. They like the smell of it. So they really need a fireplace that works. And what I mean by works is has suction that really pulls all of those gases out.
A lot of times when we meet with people and they want to have a fireplace inside, I talk about if it's going to be wood burning or gas. And then do we do insert or the true masonry fireplace and what all that means. There's a whole lot of differences in that. So
something to think about.
Yeah. And then also keeping that clean, having your chimney sweep come keep it
they
work
exist.
In order.
That's
they do exist.
They do.
There's one guy in Austin, he's kind of like the fireplace whisperer because he can go in and clean it and then just tell you how to make the fire work better. All this stuff. Yeah. Pretty cool.
Cool. All right.
Well, definitely peruse this book. It's really fun.
Home Comforts, The Art and Science of Keeping House. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Tells you how to make good coffee, too, and keep your coffee filters clean. So,
and how to have a proper cup of tea.
Yeah, and a lot just thinking about coffee making. A lot of the housekeeping we haven't even discussed has to do with the dishwashing and the size of your sink and all of that. So there's a lot that we need to investigate and know about housekeeping before we can help you design your particular home.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio.